Good morning and welcome to our service of worship this morning, especially any newcomers or visitors. Oh. Are we not on? Is that it? Yeah. Right, good morning. Welcome to your service of worship this morning, especially any newcomers or visitors. Visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. Our service this morning will be led by the Reverend Janice Andrews. The stated annual general meeting of the congregation will be held after worship on Sunday the 4th of May, next Sunday. The Queen Anne Singers, with Ivor Cleeman and Christopher Livingston, will present a charity concert in support of Christian Aid on Monday the 5th of May at 7 p.m. in St Leonard's Parish Church, Dunfermline. Tickets at the door or contact St Leonard's Church. Suggested donation is £10 and refreshments are provided. The next coffee morning is on Saturday the 10th of May from 10 till 12. If you can help, please add your name to the list in the vestibule. The next outing for the walking group is on Sunday the 11th of May, and this is to Townhill Loch with the usual coffee stop. Meet in the church car park at 2 p.m. A full programme is available in the vestibule, and contact Maureen Black on 01383 881 872 for information. There are further informations on the printed sheet. This can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you don't have a copy. And finally, for those on Zoom, here is a look at the order of service. But Alison wants to come and say a word as well.
Thank you. Yes, I'm here on behalf of Doug, the property convener, who's not with us today. I've got a photograph of the proposed upgrade for the manse next door, which has got a hall. And we're at the moment doing an application to Fife Environmental Trust for grant funding. And part of that is they're needing to know what the local community, people are in support of this. So I'd be very grateful if everybody could, if they were in support of this, add their name, and we'll leave it outside, and then groups during the week can add their name, and we'll try and get some signatures. So thank you. But it's part of the grant application, which we very definitely need. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and a very good morning to you all, and thank you for the warmest welcome. I was here a couple of weeks ago with Norman just to be in the church and be prepared for this morning. Alistair knows I'm just a wee bit excited about being here this morning. Sure am, Alistair. I think the whole of Limekilns knows that I'm here this morning. It's because my life is in a state of flux just now. I've been in ministry for 15 years. Most of that time was spent in Musselburgh, and after a bereavement in the family and I wasn't very well, I decided to go back to my Ayrshire roots, thinking it would help. But what that experience taught me was, when it's grief that's the problem, you just take it with you. So here I am, God has brought me to this area, and I hope he will call me to some other task. I'm certainly keen to serve, but just now I must be prayerful and trust and patient, which is the hardest thing to be. It's lovely to be here, especially as we continue to celebrate Easter. Easter's not just for a day or for a month, it's the wonderful hope of our faith. Our call to worship is from the Psalms. We have gathered to praise our servant King, our risen Saviour. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. So let's praise God now as we sing our first hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. It's number 111 if you're using the book.
Holy, 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 Lord God.
work of God will now be received. Let us pray. Loving Father, Lord, we thank you for these gifts that we now present to you, Father, and we ask for your blessing upon them. We thank you, Lord, for your greatest gift to the world, Christ our Saviour. What can we give to you, Father? And yet we long to serve you, and we ask that these gifts will be used to comfort your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Derek was supposed to be praying for us this morning, but sadly he's not very well, and so we have Kath. Thank you, Kath.
Yes, it was a bit last minute. I got a text. Can you help me? So, our prayer of praise has a response. The response is, you are our God, and we thank you. And it comes after the line, as one we say. So as one we say, you are our God and we thank you. Let us pray. Lord God, you are our strength and our joy. You offer love, grace and salvation to all, with no limits and no exceptions. We can enter your courts and praise you. We give thanks for your belief in us. Thank you for responding to us. Your work takes the discarded, rejected, dejected, and gives honor, value, purpose, and worth. Bathe us in light, breathe on us, be here in the midst of us. As one, we say, you are our God, and we thank you. And now a prayer to confess our sin. Dear Father, our words so often fall short in expressing our gratitude to you. We have every reason to praise you, our faithful God, to give thanks to you, the God of love, and yet we fail to. We forget to, but not today. Today we say, blessed are you, O Lord our God, whose love endures forever. But on those days when our praise is on mute, please forgive us and strengthen our voices to speak of your love and justice into the heavens and on this earth. There are days when our perceptive sight is switched off. Forgive us. Lift and soften our gaze to you and to others, so we perceive ourselves and others as you do. There are days we choose to ignore you, other stories and cries of help, or think you are uninterested in ours. We are sorry, God. Through your Spirit, please give to us an increased sensitivity to your presence and to your love for ourselves and others. Heavenly God, our Lord Jesus Christ, it is only by our faith in Jesus we can ask for and receive your forgiveness. Even though we might not see you on the cross like your disciples did, we believe you made a way for our forgiveness, to wipe our slate clean, and you rejoice over us with singing. On this day, the day that you made, Lord God, we can and do rejoice and pray in the name of Jesus. So let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Kath. We'll now sing our next hymn. If you're using the book, it's 123, hymn 123. God is love, let heaven adore him. Kind of caught me out because I know the old version of the music, so given my age, I mean, not at all. It was lovely. We've got to learn new things. Well, have you ever felt confused and unsure of where life is leading you? Because sometimes life throws us a curveball and circumstances can change very, very quickly, stopping us in our tracks, and we're left feeling disorientated and bewildered. But we know that we have no other option but to keep going and to find a new way forward. And what has helped me recently in moments like these, when we feel like this, it's very good to remember God's words to Joshua. Joshua was feeling vulnerable, and no wonder. God said to him, Joshua, have I not commanded you to be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, do not be discouraged. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. What a powerful statement. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. And it was exactly what Joshua needed to hear. Moses had just died, and Joshua had the unenviable task of taking over the position of leadership. Let's face it, he had very, very big shoes to fill. Is it any wonder that he was feeling nervous and out of his depth? But these words of God remind us that we are capable of so much more than we can imagine when we lean in God. The mistake we make is forgetting that we don't do things in our own strength, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And when we do, we find that he is so sufficient. God had been alongside Moses, and in the same way, he would be alongside Joshua, just as he is alongside you and with me. God is the one and only constant in our lives. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. As I said earlier, I've got to, in my own life just now, have faith that when that call comes, I will know and I will understand and be unafraid to step out. And just now, I'm putting in my time by walking sea dogs and spending a lot of time down at Limekiln Shore. And twice God has given me very clear illustrations of what I need to do. On one occasion of sitting at a summer seat watching a great big tanker sailing past, and I thought to myself, I bet a lot of the lowly workers in that tanker are probably from other countries. Some of them might not have a very good command of English, and many of them might not even know where the tanker's going. They just go on with the job and they trust the captain, and he knows, and that's sufficient for the workers. And I thought, that's exactly what I need to do. And then on another occasion, I was driving along to the farm where I'm living, and the farm, as I say, between Rosyth and the road is very, very busy between Rosyth and Limekilns, and a group of cyclists were waiting to cross the road, and there were one child there. It was all adults and one child, and every adult was like this, and like this, and like this again, watching for the moment when they could cross the road. But the wee boy that was there never took his eyes off his daddy. He never looked at the road, never looked at the traffic. He looked at his dad, and he knew that he could go when his dad went. And that's a great example of how we should be living our lives and trusting God that he will lead us forward. We don't need to know where we are going. Can you imagine the bewilderment and confusion of the disciples on that first Good Friday? They had met Jesus 3 years earlier. They had followed him every moment of every day, convinced that he was the Messiah. They'd given up everything to follow him. But one thing they hadn't been able to do was grasp the nature of the kingdom of God. For generations, the Israelites had looked forward to the Messiah coming. But their expectations were of a warrior king, a king who would lead an army, a king who would be politically strong, a king who would overthrow the Romans because Israel was under the thumb of Rome, and once again a king that would lead them to greatness as they had enjoyed under the monarchy of King David. So they were thinking in earthly terms of an earthly kingdom. The disciples knew God and we know God, and yet he cannot be fully known. His ways and his thoughts are so much higher than anything we can imagine. Jesus had not come to be king of one nation. He had come to be king of all nations. His rule was not contained to one geographical area, and his reign would know no boundaries, nor any parameters. He didn't come to reign for a season, like many kings or our great late queen who ruled over several generations. No, Christ had come to reign over every generation. His reign would be eternal. There's plenty of evidence which proves that the disciples lacked understanding. The brothers James and John and even their mother all approached Jesus and said, may they have important positions when he came into his kingdom. They hadn't a clue. They hadn't a clue what it would cost Jesus to redeem us, and they hadn't a clue what it would cost them to follow him. Jesus is our servant king. He laid down his life to pay the price for our sins. He clothed us, he clothed himself in our sins, that we may be clothed in his righteousness. Is that not the most beautiful transaction? We will no doubt have seasons of confusion and bewilderment in our lives, but we are never lost. With Christ, there's always a way forward. If all we have is Christ, then we have it all. Put your hand in his and step out in faithful obedience, trusting that all is well. And this leads us into our reading. I've lost my bee. Oh, here we are. The order of service. Our readings this morning, one is a song of praise from the Psalms, and the other is the story of the two men who meet a stranger on the road to Emmaus, and they're going to be read by Dot. Thank you, Dot.
Our readings this morning are taken from Psalm 22, reading verses 27 to 31, a song of praise.
All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to the people yet unborn, he has done it. Our second reading is taken from Luke 24, reading from verses 13 to 35, the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers have handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women were amazed. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." May the Lord bless his reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Dot, for that reading. We are now going to sing. It's number 426 if you're using the book, "All Heaven Declares the Glory of the Risen Lord." right this time, George. Well done. The festival of Passover was and still is the greatest of all Jewish festivals. It celebrated the night when God set his people free from Egyptian bondage. The Israelites were instructed to smear the blood of a lamb over their door lintels. That night, the angel of death would descend upon Egypt, but the homes that were marked by the blood of the lamb would be passed over. That's where we get the name, the Passover festival. No one living under the blood of the lamb was touched by death. The great exodus out of Egypt began on that night, on the night of Passover. And it's very significant that the crucifixion of Jesus also took place at Passover, at the time of Passover. When he died on the cross, shedding his blood for us, he was covering us in the blood of the Lamb. Death has no hold over us. This is why we can sing the words of that beautiful old hymn, "Grave, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting?" We are covered by the blood of the Lamb, shed for us on the cross on the weekend of Passover. Passover was a great celebration, but at the time of Jesus, it also was a time of heightened tensions, because once again, the irony of it was, just as they had been oppressed by the Egyptians, they were now being oppressed by the Romans. They were under the rule of the mighty Roman Empire. They were tolerated. Their traditions were tolerated, but always under the watchful eye of Roman soldiers. And this year, the year of the crucifixion, the atmosphere was particularly charged because people were talking about this man called Jesus from Nazareth. Some were saying that he was the Messiah, and the expectation of his followers that something dramatic was going to happen this weekend. He had arrived into the city the previous weekend with a huge following from Galilee. Well, something extraordinary definitely did happen, but not what his followers had hoped or expected. Jesus was arrested. He was tried before the Roman governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate. He was sentenced to death by crucifixion and buried in a tomb. And now the most extraordinary rumors were beginning to circulate. People were saying that he had risen from the dead, and he had appeared to some of the women. Two of Jesus' followers who had been in Jerusalem that weekend and had witnessed everything that had happened were walking very slowly back home to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles away. Their heads were down. They couldn't believe what had happened, and they were intent and deep in conversation. And so they didn't notice the stranger who just quietly came alongside them and started to walk with them. The stranger said to them, "What is it that you're talking about so intently?" And in the common language, they basically said to him, "Where have you been? Do you not know of the things that have happened this weekend in Jerusalem? You mean to say you've been in Jerusalem and you don't know what's happened?" "What things?" said the man. "About Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, and we hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. But instead, he was arrested and handed over to be crucified. And what's more, all of this happened 3 days ago now, and some women have reported seeing him, and the menfolk ran to the tomb, and seemingly it's true. The tomb is empty, and there's no sign of him." This stranger had tremendous knowledge of the Old Testament, and he began to challenge the men's thinking by speaking to them about the words that Moses had taught, about the words of the prophets, that the Messiah would suffer many, many things before entering his glory. The men are so enjoying listening to this man that when they get to Emmaus, they say, "Why don't you come and dine with us and stay the night?" And as they sit around the table, it's the stranger who breaks the bread and gives thanks. And suddenly they recognize him and they know that it is Jesus. And in an instant, Jesus is gone. The men from Emmaus get up and just make their way as quickly as they can back to Jerusalem, desperate to share the news with the disciples. They have seen the Lord. They're in the midst of sharing the remarkable story with them when suddenly Jesus is in the room and he shows them his hands and his feet, saying, "This is what I told you when I was with you. Everything from Moses, the prophets and the Psalms that has been written about me must be fulfilled. The Messiah must suffer, but he will rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them, saying, "Receive my spirit." It was a new beginning for the disciples. These were the men who would take the gospel out into the world. It would begin like a wee spark, but very soon it would become a flame. And it wouldn't be long before it was a raging fire spreading across the world that no one could contain. On that first night when Christ appeared to the disciples, Thomas was not there. And he said to the others, "I'll only believe it if I see it." Jesus later appeared to them all, and Thomas was there, and Thomas declared, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they believe." The church today is a body of people who have not seen the Lord, and yet we believe. For we know him. We know him through his word. We know him through the comfort of his love. We know him through that sense of his constant presence with us. And we know him most beautifully through the indwelling of his peace within us. Today is a new beginning. It's a turning point. We proclaim the truth of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who lived and died and who rose again and who reigns forevermore. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you for our risen servant King. We thank you for his constant presence. We thank you, Father, that in this world we have one source of truth, one source of great hope and everlasting joy. Thank you for your word this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think there was only one hymn I could choose after the word this morning. "You Shall Go Out With Joy." It's hymn number 804. Thank you. Thank you. And now Kath is going to lead us once again in our prayers of intercession. Thank you, Kath.
Let us pray. Lord God, we bring you our prayers for others and for our world. We pray for peace in the world. We pray for peace in Gaza and Israel, in the Ukraine, and in Sudan. We remember the many countries and regions where conflict and violence are a way of life. We pray that in these places too the voice of the peacemakers will be heard. We pray for all refugees and for everyone without a home and the basic necessities of life. We pray that they will find a home and welcome. We pray for the church, for our own church here in Kearney Hill, for the church in Scotland, and for the church and for Christians around the world. We remember those of the Roman Catholic Church, especially following the death of Pope Francis, and we pray that they can take comfort from his service and his dedication to the poor. Also that in this time they will find a good and wise successor. We pray for those affected by climate change and by natural disaster. We pray for those suffering from ill health, especially where treatable conditions go untreated because there is no access or limited access to health care. We also pray for their carers. We pray for the bereaved and ask that they may be comforted. We pray for those living in poverty and those who are oppressed. We pray for good government in our own country and around the world. We pray for an end to corruption and abuse of power. O Lord God, it always appears that there are too many issues and too many people to pray about. But you know every need. You know every person in need. We ask you to act, to bring peace and justice, healing and comfort and hope wherever it is needed. And show us where we may be part of your response, Lord God. And so now, Lord, we bring you our own concerns for those nearest to us, for our friends and family, neighbours and colleagues. Hear our personal prayers for all of them and for ourselves in the silence that follows. Father God, hear and answer all our prayers and requests, for we ask everything in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Kat. Well, it's just been lovely being with you this morning. I've so enjoyed being with you in this lovely wee church, and who knows, maybe I'll be with you again some week. But we bring our worship to a close now with that beautiful hymn. It's number 19 if you're using the books. Ye gates, lift up your heads, ye doors.
Ye doors that pass more in. and the power and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and with all those whom you so very deeply love, both now and forevermore. Amen.